Have they made a deal with him of any kind?
Thank you.
suppose that's a principle. He still would say, and they're not completely finished, we're right in the middle of this right now, but their tentative view is that we have to look at it as you're doing, from two standpoints, the illegal and the apparently doubtful.
Let's get the illegal first.
Okay, well, they say there's nothing illegal about that.
Why not?
Because I wasn't an actor. See, the reason he had to come to me in order to call Kalmbach is that Kalmbach didn't want to work for Sands anymore. And we used a pretext with Maury that Kalmbach was going to be under Bob and my aegis from now on to do special projects. And so he couldn't be a fundraiser anymore. And that was effective the 6th of April. And so Mitchell and Sands had been told that the only way they could use him is if we okayed it. And that was to protect her from having all kinds of demands made on his time by the committee.
So he came to you and asked you.
Dean said, would you...
No, nothing illegal in that case, but what about the conspiracy thing there? That's what I was thinking. They weave that in as part of the conspiracy.
Well, that's arguable. These fellows seem to think that there's a legitimate defense to that that doesn't elevate, that doesn't get up to the level of being an actor in a conspiracy.
That's all in your case. The case on Bob is hard. He said basically it gets down to a conflict of testimony, which they cannot resolve between Strong and Greer. And as I've even been thinking about it, they lied to that contest. He said, I don't like it, but maybe we have to do that. I don't know. I'm going to get into that. Strong, in effect, says that Haldeman did not receive the specifics of the budget. You know? And I don't know what Haldeman said on that or not. I think he says he didn't either. And that Haldeman did not receive Watergate stuff that was recognizable as such. McGruder, he says, said that Haldeman received the budget. I don't know what McGruder John Sparks would say, received the specifics.
That's a synopsis.
Yeah, he
does.
McGruder said that.
Yeah, he said that to me.
But and the budget?
Yes.
But it indicated that Bucky was involved.
That Strong got it. He said he doesn't know Bob got
it. And Strong may have committed perjury.
No, Strong devoutly, sincerely, and with every fiber of his being says he never got it. And he would remember it. If he ever got a budget that said anything like that, he'd know it.
But McGruder says they received the budget here.
They sent it over.
Right. And McGruder's also saying the information.
The transcript, the synopsis.
Yeah, the synopsis.
I see.
The other thing is that Haldeman's apparently are ordering or participating in the ordering to rehire Liddy. I don't know what that. He didn't mention this. He think it's very important. They're far from having this case nailed down.
Yeah. He said anything about timing?
Well, nothing this weekend. So they haven't made their deal with Cruder yet.
So he's not going in this week?
No, sir. I said, look, I'd take off for Easter if any of them. So apparently.
Will they recess the jury for Easter? Well, anyway, he won't go before Monday. Is that what you're reading?
I got it.
All right.
Yeah. Okay. And that Harv Haldeman ordered the $350 to be paid, knowing that it was to be paid to the defendants. Haldeman agrees on that.
And we've gone into that in elaborate detail with the lawyers this morning.
What do they say?
John Wilson says there's nothing illegal about what you did, Mr. Haldeman. The president has to decide whether the appearance of it makes
why
a problem.
I hope there isn't.
He says not because of Bob's state of mind at the time.
Bob was not intending to try to keep the...
He was intending only to get rid of money that he had that didn't belong to him. And what the recipient did with it, he didn't have any control, intent, design, or contemplation.
If he knew.
Well, he's told Wilson everything he knows.
No.
What he knew then.
Yeah. No. But Bob, and money went over, Bob knew that it was going to defend.
Not of a certainty. He did not. And that's something Wilson bored in on very hard this morning. He said, now, Mr. Haldeman, in effect, would you have been surprised to learn that instead of using that money for the defendants, they had used it to pay printing bills?
Right.
And Bob said, well, I didn't have that strong a conviction about what they were going to use it for. I knew they needed money over there. But he said, no, it wouldn't have surprised me. So then Wilson bored in on him two or three different ways. This old boy is good. He's quite something. Right. When we got all done, he said, well, he said, I know the question that's in the president's mind. And he said, I want to reserve until we get all done today. But he said, you must bear in mind the difference between a criminal act and the problem that's presented to the president by the mere appearance.
Yeah. Which basically is about me. I trust this fellow Peterson. I think he's trying to do his best. He just all tore up.
Sure.
He loves Metro.
Sure.
He loves the White House.
Yep.
But, you know, it's the way it is.
I understand.
I'm sorry. I think he might have been too.
Yes, I know he did.
Now, the only thing that I have that comes to the back of my mind that you've got to talk about is that last conversation with Dean about that 120.
With it?
Dean, come in and tell us about that. Told me about it.
About Hunt demanding it.
That Benson said Hunt needed $120,000 of attorney's fees and so
right.
forth.
Right.
And that way Dean will tell it or he's going to blow the whistle. Right?
Yeah. Now, blow the whistle on the national security operation. That was the threat.
Was it?
Yes, sir. And you remember our response to that. Was you cannot be paying blackmail in that
right.
kind of a situation.
Right.
And that's all that is pure blackmail. And we said, no dice. And I could be just as flat out on that. That's the honest to God truth.
Now let me put one other question to you. I know it's very painful for you to think of this. When Bob told me what Dean said, he couldn't write it.
I just had a mental image of the guy sitting there with big piles of paper saying, I had just written a confession, and I would be nuts to deliver this anyway.
Well, that's what we have to say.
Well, I think that's very, very probable.
The way the show was, yep. He's got a chaplain and the rest. I don't know if you can't, we may be able to exert privilege on Dean before the grand jury, but we can't before the press.
We can in a trial, and you certainly can in the press. I'd send a fellow around to talk to Dean if this is a problem, to just say, look here, you are going to be liable, separately liable, for breach of confidentiality. And
is that a case?
Well, I think you ought to get Peterson to advise you on this. But there certainly is a statutory protection, and I think you could invoke it. Well, no, not as such, but on various national security bases, I'm just not that familiar with statutes. I don't know what all you have in the way of statutory protection, but you remember that our CIA case where the guy was enjoined by the court? We fell back on that body of law.
That's about it. The other point he said is that obviously he knows all of these. He's greatly concerned about say, what the hell is it for Bickman to say that he asked for that? I just asked you, doesn't that involve a lawyer?
Brian puts him in the soup. Puts him in the soup, sure.
Then he came and said, I want 120 for it.
You bet.
For, or otherwise, you know, both of us
yep.
want something.
Yep. You're right.
So here you go.
Well, this is good information. This will be helpful. This fits right in with our conversation in there. I'll tell you what I think I will do, you know. If you don't mind, I will take John Wilson aside and talk to him about this separation business. He's very wise and very...
I don't know how, and we've got to get to his judgment. You know, and now, when Bob said this morning, it's not quite careful here because we have to be doing this for ourselves. We generally are hurting ourselves in this case. I guess we just have to be hard on that way. Well, in a sense, though, let's face it, John Mitchell's works in the back here is not really good stuff. God Almighty. Instead, we weren't protecting the White House. Right?
That's correct.
We weren't protecting that. We were protecting John Mitchell.
Yes, sir.
All the way through.
In the first instance, we were protecting Uriel Ashley, in a sense. We didn't know what from.
That's right.
Afterward, though, this cover-up business was pure Mitchell.
Bob says that, you know, you're going to look back and he goes.
Well, there's two ways of looking at that, obviously,
now,
but...
The point is, there is that strong argument that people are making that if somebody is the president moves, no, I suppose if I move money, let's look at it this way. Let's suppose I don't. The Dean argument will be that he told me all these things about Holden that I didn't move on. Correct?
Sure. And that Dean's being made a scapegoat.
He's been made a scapegoat. And then, so all this stuff about Holden comes out, and Holden would probably have to go with me, being quite candid.
Yeah, eventually they drag him out.
Yeah.
You know.
But this much, in his case.
It could be played a lot of different ways and back and forth.
Well, you've got...
You've given me some stuff here as a worry for him that we didn't have before. That may add to this.
Like what?
Oh, this business about the dispute between Strong and Magruder.
Yeah.
I think what I'll do. Bob and I talked about this at breakfast. It was his idea.
Yeah. What I was thinking is if Bob goes in the way of somebody, I'm going out and fight this battle. I might use my situation has been made untenable. Fight this battle and so forth and so on.
You know what he said? He said, I'm going to get six crises and I'm going to read the chapter about the fund. And he said, that's going to be my guide.
Separability. there, but then you've got to think back as to what the hell Dean is up to with regard to you.
Yeah, and that's what we were doing when you called. We were going into everything and anything that I could remember that had anything to do with this.
Let me come down to the point. As I look at it at the present time, looking at this evidence, the U.S. Attorney had a hell of a time including you in the conspiracy that non-indictable that the lawyer had found out.
Well, see, they're going over there when they get finished.
Looking at this evidence, I think there is a very strong possibility that Holloman would be included in it.
Yeah. Well, they seem to think so.
Yeah, they think so.
Yeah.
Looking at this evidence, too, however, I think there is a very little possibility that you would be, if you would ever be guided, I mean, that you would be criminally guided.
Well, now they say, though, prosecutor like this Gleaser, or whatever his name is, will sometimes indict somebody that he doesn't expect to get a conviction on, just to get a big name into the case.
He's going to have a big name.
Well, that's another thing that they're going to probe.
Sure.
But they said to look out for that. Don't take much comfort from the fact that... So far, not from what they've heard. They think not, that it is not actionable in the ultimate sense. But they're being very guarded, obviously, because we're just now giving them the facts, and they haven't tested what we're telling them.
The way they had to do it is you start to build a web. Bob was involved in all this.
Sure.
Rehired Liddy, he received the budget, he received the information,
yep.
And he ordered the 300.
It would be a whole elaborate, as you say, a web of no one fact of which would do it.
Right, and even there, Bob was a good attorney.
Well, I think we've got the best in the town in there.
Well, that's all I have.
Yeah, thank you. That's very helpful.
If it's at all useful.